If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to read the first 12 verses there. But what we're going to look at this morning is the wise men that came to see Jesus. And there's a lot of myths. There's a lot of songs written about the wise men and things and how it really happened and the order that it happened. But what we're going to dwell on today, and we'll get there in a little bit, is today wise men still seek Jesus. They still seek Jesus. They still look for Jesus. Is there any wise, any noble, any mighty among you? Let him be one that seeks for Jesus. And if you're a wise person today, you're going to seek for Jesus. And when I was preparing this and I was thinking about it, there was the five foolish virgins and there was the five wise ones. The wise ones had oil in their vessels. They had oil in their lamps. They were very much aware of what was going on around them, spiritually speaking. And if you're a wise person today, if you're a wise Christian, you are very aware of what's going on around you spiritually. You're very aware of the attack against you from the enemy, because let's not kid ourselves, he is attacking every one of us at all times, because that's what he does. Well, the devil don't attack me. I don't see where he's after me. You need to wake up spiritually, because there's a spiritual warfare going on. And if you're a wise person, amen, if you're a wise one, you're going to know the tactics. You're going to know the tricks of the enemy. If you think the enemy's not after you, then he can make an ambush against you. He can catch you unawares, because he's not after me. And we use these scripture, and it is scripture, but a lot of times we use it out of context. We like to say these ones: if God be for me, who can be against me? Who can separate me from his love? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And we go on thinking that there's no warfare going on. There is a very serious warfare going on for your soul right now as you're sitting here in church today. The devil's not at peace, because you are serving Jesus. And he's going to do everything he can to try to stop you, to try to discourage you. He's going to throw all kinds of fiery darts, and he does it in many different ways. And he'll try one tactic. If that doesn't work, he'll try another tactic. It's his work to try to pull you down. But that's where you have to stand on the promises of God's word. We need to recognize that the enemy is out there warring against us, and then the scripture does work. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Amen. And the other scripture we like to use over in Philippians, all things, everything that's coming against me, all that's going backwards, it all works for the good to them that are called of God, amen, and are called according to his purpose, those that love God. God has a purpose and a reason for what's going on in your life today, amen, and we do not want to be ignorant concerning the devil's devices, amen. Many people are concerning the devil's devices, and they say it with the law, ignorance is no excuse. And when you stand before God, if you have ignorance of the word of God, that's not going to be any excuse when you stand before God, because you have this word, you're here and now, you have your health about you, you have your wits about you, you need to get in, you need to study the word of God. It's not going to stand when you stand before God, amen, on that judgment day, and God's judging, and he's going to judge each one of us. It's not going to stand for you to be able to say, but I didn't know your word said thus and so. God might very well say to you, ignorance is no excuse. You had the word right there. It's your responsibility to hide God's word in your heart, that you might not sin against him. But wise men, they still seek him today. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to read the first 12 verses. And we're going to give you a little bit of history about what goes on here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us today, God. Lord, as we look at this, we won't always be thinking about, yeah, that's for somebody else, they need to hear this, but God, we'll apply it to ourselves. God, we'll see where we can better ourselves, where we can still be that wise one that seeks you today in this world that we're living, in your name, Jesus, amen. Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and I want you to note this scripture here, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, and this is interesting, these are the Jewish people, the religious people of that day. And they knew where this Jesus was going to be born. But how interesting it is to this day that we're living in 2023, they're still looking for Jesus. Think about that. Back here, Herod's, when should this Jesus be born? And they said unto him, they knew this in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Verse 6, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they were come. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and fell down. And this, I want you to note this again. In verse 2, they come to worship him. In verse 11, they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed unto their country another way. So we all have our ideas of the wise men. From the time we're children, we're taught, even those that might not be raised in a Christian home, a lot of times even parents that aren't Christian will tell their children the Christmas story, and we have our idea of the wise men. We see him at the manger. When you have manger scenes set up, so we have one sitting over here on the tone cabinet this morning, and if you come up and try to figure out who all those characters are, we have the wise men there. People set up nativity scenes. They'll have the shepherds, they'll have Mary and Joseph, they'll have different animals, they'll have the baby Jesus, they'll have the wise men there. And we begin to believe that the wise men were there the night of his birth. The wise men were not there the night of his birth. It's a myth. We just think that. In reality, they didn't arrive until sometime later. Perhaps it was 2 years after his birth. And how do we know that? Go down a little bit farther. In Matthew chapter 2:16, we didn't read that far, but then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And so the baby was born, the baby, and then you can read it in chapter 2 and verse 11. I don't know why I just dropped way out of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. And you can read this here. And when they came into the house, and so when the wise men came there, Jesus was in a house. He wasn't in the manger. When the shepherds went to see him, he was in the manger. When the wise men arrived to see Jesus, he was in a house. He was in a house when they arrived. And so the news of Jesus' birth brought interest from all over the world at that time, as the world was known at that time, because they knew, they had heard that there was going to be a Jesus born, because the king, he got there with the people. And it says Herod got the people and the chief priests and the scribes, and he demanded of them where Christ should be born. So they knew somewhat of the prophecies. And I read to you in verses 5 and 6 what they said to him. So there was interest from all over the world. Amen. And today, in 2023, there is still interest today about the birth of Christ. There's an interest in the birth of Christ. People want to know about the birth of Christ. And many of them have ideas that are not correct. And then the wise men sought him. And in verses 2 and 11, it says when they sought him, it says they came to worship him. And if you are a wise man today and you are seeking Jesus, you will have a burning desire down within your heart that you can't explain. morning that all you want to do is worship Him. You just want to praise His holy name. You just want to be in His presence. You just want to say, as the shepherd said, you want to say glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And there's an excitement, there's an anticipation, there's an expectation down inside of you. So they came to worship Him. And today what we're talking about, wise men still seek Him today. They still seek Him today. And the wise men that found Him there, and we have to do the same thing today. They put forth an effort to find Him. They sought Him out. Amen. They found Him. They were searching for Him. There are people today that don't realize, but what they're really searching for is Jesus. They're looking for peace. They're looking for satisfaction. They're looking for contentment. There's a void down in the heart and in the soul of every individual that has been born here upon this earth. And that emptiness that they feel inside can only be filled by Jesus. But a lot of people don't realize it's Jesus that they're really seeking. Amen. Jesus, He'll satisfy the longing in your heart and in your soul like nothing else can, or like nobody else can. Verse 1 says, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 1, that they came from afar. They came from a very, very far place. And it's believed that they came from Mesopotamia, which was over in Babylon. And Babylon was a place that Daniel was in captivity. And he was a slave over there. Many years earlier, he was there. And possibly, and I've heard this taught before, possibly because of Daniel's influence of the hope for a coming and a desire for that Messiah that went down through the years, men knew that someday there would be one born who would save His people. How did these wise men know to look for that star? They were many miles away. It was months that it took them to get there. It wasn't an overnight journey. It was a very long journey. And it's believed that this is the country, and we know it's the country, not only believed, the history tells us this, that when Daniel was in captivity, he was over in that land. And perhaps Daniel had left a message with those people, and they would study this and they would look at it. And there was this thing with the stars, and they knew that someday there would be someone born that was going to save His people. And now here's another thing. We don't know how many wise men they were. If I ask you how many wise men there were, almost all of us are going to go, there was three. The Bible says nowhere that there was three wise men. It doesn't say that. Tradition says that there's three. The songs say that there's three, that there was the three men. But the Bible doesn't say for sure that there was just three men. But we do know this, that they traveled a long way. They traveled a long time. And the only way that they had to travel in that day, remember, they were seeking for Jesus, and it was a long journey for them to get to Jesus. Amen. They had to ride on a certain type of an animal. They probably rode on a donkey. Maybe they rode a horse. Maybe they rode camels. We're not sure exactly, but we know they traveled across the desert, so perhaps they had to ride a camel. It was a long journey for them to get to Jesus. When they saw that star in the east, or they were in the east when they saw the star, and they says, we are going to seek Him. And so they traveled a long ways to get to Jesus. And think about before you found the Lord in your life, before you had that experience of salvation, what kind of a land were you traveling through? Were you in a spiritual desert land. You were in a dry area, but you were going and you were seeking Jesus. And for many people to get to Jesus even today, it's a long, hard journey for them. It's a school, we'll say, of hard knocks. They go through a lot of hard times and things in their life. And they're going across the type of a desert in their life. But they're still seeking for Jesus today. It was a different story with the shepherds. They were in a field. Amen. They were abiding in the hills and in the field nearby. Amen. But it wasn't so with the wise men. The shepherds were there. That story, maybe we'll get into it next week or the week after here. And there was a host of heavenly beings, of angels, that said glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There's something good that's happened. We want you to come and see this Jesus. We want you to go there. But it wasn't that way for the wise men. It isn't it just that way today. It seemingly appears that salvation comes so easy to some people, and for other people, salvation is something that appears to be almost out of their grasp, but they just can't get it. They're searching, they're looking, they live a long, hard life. life go through a lot of hard times in their life. And in reality, down inside, they're searching for that peace. They're searching for that happiness. And then there's others, hardly without any search, they encounter Jesus in their life. And I would say that that's the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. And if you know Jesus as your Savior today, you need to thank God for that. There's people that are seeking for this Jesus today, and they're going in many directions. They're hearing many voices, and a lot of them are going in the wrong ways. And so Ezra chapter 7 and verse 9, we know that it was a long trip for the wise men. And as Ezra chapter 7 and verse 9, and I have this marked out in my Bible, so I'm going to read it to you. It says this here. It's, and this is talking about how far it was from Babylon down to Jerusalem. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. And so back at this time in the book of Ezra, it took at least 4 months to travel from Babylon to Jerusalem. And so the wise men came from Babylon into Jerusalem. So we know it probably took at least 4 months. In this story that we have in Ezra, it took them 4 months to get there. And the trip cost them a lot. It cost the wise men a lot. It was that they did. They had to leave what they were doing. They had to lay things aside. They had to start living different. They were going to find Jesus. They were seeking for him. And then also they brought with them, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we could do a teaching on that, the value of those things. It was just no cheap gift. It was just no afterthought. They didn't go down to the local Dollar Tree or to the Dollar General or to the dollar store or the Family Dollar or the local Walmart and just, let's see what we can afford here. Let's grab this and that. They took something of great value to give as a gift to Jesus. They had it set in their hearts. We read it in verse 2. We read it in verse 12. They were going there for a purpose. They wanted to find him because they wanted to worship him. Listen, there's something on the each of us, on the inside of us, that wants to worship something. Everybody today is worshiping somebody or something. Amen. We as the children of God need to make sure that it's Jesus that we're worshiping. It's Jesus that we're glorifying. The way of the world, they go and they'll pick a movie star. They'll pick a singer. They'll pick different ones. And they're worshiping them, and it's like they're the most important thing in their life. People are worshiping something. They're worshiping other people. They're worshiping tangible things that they can get their hands on. If I can have this truck, if I can have that car, if I can have this job, it's just like that'll bring total satisfaction to me. But all of those things come up empty, but they are worshiping something, and they brought with them something of great value. And so today in the time that we're living, most people don't have time for the birth of Jesus. They don't want to acknowledge what Christmas is really about. To many people, it's just Santa Claus and reindeer and the elves, and it's just a fantasy time, and it's just something for children, you know, the giving and exchanging of gifts. And there's many homes, even in America today, in the country that we're living, where the name of Jesus is never going to be mentioned at Christmas time. There's going to be probably the majority of the children in our country that are going to celebrate Christmas is going to think it's just all about Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all of those kinds of things. You need to thank that you know the truth. Amen. People don't have time for the birth of Jesus. They don't have time for his death or resurrection. They don't want to hear about his birth. They don't want to hear about his death. They don't want to hear about his resurrection. But today, amen, as believers, wise men still seek him for the truth. Lord, what is truth? Thy word, O Lord, is truth. Thy word have I hid in my heart. God, I desire you. I'm seeking you today. You can know him, but you still need to continually seek after him. Amen. We're not careful. Other things can fill our life. Any person with any wisdom and any sense about them, they know that there's a God. I'm going to say that again. Any person with any wisdom and any sense about them, they know that there's a God in heaven that requires men to be accountable. People just know that. It's down within our being, within the heart, and within the soul. People will deny that. They'll say there is no God, but yet everybody has that sense within them that they are accountable to somebody. And we know that wise men, amen, wise men seek God's way of redemption. Amen. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And so wise men still seek God's way of redemption. God, you know why people don't come to Jesus today? Because they don't realize they're lost. You got to talk to them. You have to tell them. And you can begin to connect with people when you begin to talk to them about the emptiness that they feel inside. Like there's something more for them. That's why they turn to drugs. That's why they turn to alcohol. That's why they turn to relationships. That's why they turn to attaining all of these tangible material things in this world. Because they feel like there's something more. And it's not satisfying them. It's not bringing that satisfaction that they're looking for. And you begin to connect with them and tell them that longing that they're feeling, that emptiness, that feeling that there's something more out there. It's God that's out there, and it's God's Spirit that is drawing them. Amen. Wise men know that Jesus is the answer, amen, to the sin problem in this world today. A wise person knows that Jesus is the answer for this world today. I think it was Andre Crouch that wrote that song many, many years ago. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there is no other. Jesus is the way. And wise men know that Jesus is the answer for the sin problem that's in this world today. And I know we've taught it over the years since I've been pastor here in the church. Amen. Our government and the way that the world thinks that they can handle, in reality they're trying to handle sin problems by throwing money at it. If we can just start more programs, we can do away with poverty. We can do away with child abuse. We can do away with this homelessness. We can do away with drug addiction. We can do away with people being alcoholics and all the different vices that are out there. They just keep throwing money at it, and things aren't getting better. They're getting worse and worse. Amen. Because Jesus is the answer for the world today. Amen. He is the one that can bring satisfaction. He is the one that can bring deliverance. Amen. He can set the captive free. Amen. Those that have an addiction to drugs, Jesus can set them free. You get an addiction to drugs, you can't just lay that down by yourself. God have mercy on those people that have got themselves involved in stuff. Alcohol is another one. It's the same way. You get an addiction to that. It's very hard for the natural man just to lay that thing down. But Jesus is still the answer for the sin problem that's in the world today. It's not more programs. It's not more money. Amen. But it's Jesus that's the answer. Amen. And so we in this world today, what do wise men do? Amen. They seek Jesus their family, for their friends, for their unsaved loved ones. Amen. You're concerned about them. You want to see them come into the fold. You want them to make heaven their home. And when you think the thoughts such as everybody's going to stand before God someday and give an account to themselves, and you start right with your own family and you start thinking about your own family members, it can be a very uncomfortable thought. Not that we're the judge, not that we know all things, but by their fruits you'll know if they're a son or a daughter of Christ. And the reality is, if some of our family members don't repent and give themselves to Jesus, amen, I know it's blunt to say it this way, but they're going to split hell wide open when they stand before God. God's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. We don't want that to happen to our loved ones. And so we're seeking God, amen, on behalf of our loved ones. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30 says this here. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. He that winneth souls is wise. Wise men still seek him. Do what you can do to get people into the kingdom of God. Wise men today, amen. Point number two, wise men today, they still worship him. In verse 2, it says this, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 2, and they came to worship worship Him. Why do you come to God's house? Why were you born on this earth? What's your purpose in life? People will say, I don't know what my purpose in life is. I can tell you what one of your purposes in life is, and that's to worship Jesus. That's to bring honor and glory to His name. And they came to worship Him. In most Christianity today, amen, most Christians today don't know how to worship Jesus, or they don't even know what worship is. Oh, we need to learn to worship Jesus. That song that we sing, and it happens to us, shut in with God in a secret place, there in His presence, beholding His face, gaining more power to run in life's race. I long to be shut in with God. And it's a song that maybe a lot of the younger ones don't like, but it has a meaning. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. Amen. And you look through that song. I know it's not scripture, but it's song. That intimate, that special time that you spend with God, that's times of worship. And when you're at times of worship with the Lord, you're just at a time of awe. You just don't have words to say. And I like what it says in the book of Job about worship. When all of these things happened to Job, and it's long about chapter 1 or 2, all this bad news came to him. His world fell apart as he knew it. Amen. He was a God-fearing man. He walked uprightly before God. And when all of this bad news came to him, it says there along chapter 1 or 2 that Job, he fell down and worshiped. He worshiped. We need to learn to worship Jesus in the good times, in the bad times. When we have good news, it's easy to worship Him. But when we get bad news, it's not so easy. But worship that comes from the heart, the kind of worship that God wants, you're going to be able to worship at all times. The scripture says, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Wise men today still worship Jesus. You must do it in spirit and in truth. Some think, I mean, and it's a form of worship. It's not just we raise our hands and praise the Lord. By the giving of your offerings, your tithes and offerings, that's a worship to Him. When you lift your hands and praise the Lord, that's a worship to Him. And when you sing the songs of Zion unto Him, that's a worship to Him. But many people today don't know what worship is. Do you know that our worship is our survival of this Christian life? Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We need to be a people that learn how to worship Him. Amen. And give Him praise. It's our survival in this Christian life. If you're going to survive in 2023, you need to be a worshiper of the Lord. Lord, I bless Your holy name. I praise Your holy name. I worship You this day. Amen. And so, without worship, you cannot be what God intends you to be. What God wants you to be. You can't be that unless you learn to worship Him. And right now in the heavens, you can go into the book of Revelation and you can read about it. What's going on in the heavenlies right now? There's the 24 elders before the throne of God, and there's the heavenly host there, and they're saying, Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of Your glory, and they're just worshiping and praising God. There's worship going on continually before His throne. This morning when we're in here, if we don't worship Him, the heavenly beings are up there worshiping Him. But we need to learn to worship God. Amen. We need to learn to worship God. And so the worship, amen, we have to give worship. We must give worship. In Matthew 2:11, they gave worship to God. They came with the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. And their worship to Jesus wouldn't have been complete without the giving of gifts. And it's still true for today. Are you really worshiping God? Are we really worshiping God when we're stingy with God? Lord, I only have this much and I have this many bills. I can't do it. Worshiping God, a form of that is in your giving to God, the giving of your times, your talents, and your money. The wise men that we read about today in Matthew chapter 2, they gave in quality and they gave in quantity. They didn't hold nothing back because they were looking for this Messiah. And their idea wasn't just, we want to just lay eyes on Him. We just want to see what He's all about. Their purpose was to come and to worship Him. When you come into church, do you just want to come and see other people be blessed? You want to come in and see the waters being stirred? You want to go to Go to the pool of Bethesda. You want to see the first one that gets in when the waters are troubled. You want to see him healed. All of that stuff can make you feel good. But the wise men didn't come just to be observers. They came to worship. And when you come into God's house today, if you're a worshiper, you come to God's house to worship him, not just to observe who's going to be there, what's the preacher going to preach about, and how's this one going to dress, and how's that one going to dress, and this one's missing today, I wonder where they are. Amen. Don't be like that. Be a worshiper of the Lord. Amen. And so many people today, what do? We give God the leftovers. We give God the leftovers. What we don't need, we give to God. God, I just have an abundance of money today, so I'm going to give you a little bit of extra. Amen. You're better off to keep it for yourself if you're just giving out of the abundance that you have. You need to give from the depths of your heart. That's worshiping God. These wise men opened up and gave what was of great value. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What do you have in your life today that you have a great value upon it? That is what God wants you to give him today. Amen. Give it over to him today. It could be some material thing. I'm not saying you have to give your vehicle to the Lord. You have to give your house to the Lord. But God wants us to be willing to give whatever we have placed great value up in our life. Lord, I give that to you this day. Amen. Worship, it requires giving freely. They gave something of great value. What have you given to God that's of great value? To give to God means we give him all there is of us. I give you my all. I serve you with my body, my soul, my spirit. Amen. All that we have, all that we are, all of our time, all of our talent, all of our treasure. God, it belongs to you. I just give it to you. At least what God wants us to have is a willing heart. Amen. Just to give whatever it is that we can give into the kingdom of God. And then next to the last point here this morning, wise men still listen to God's warning. In chapter 2, verses 9 and 12, they still listen to God's warning. And what was God's warning? God's warning was greater than the word of the king to these wise men. God's warning was, don't go back to the king. God gave him a warning. Wise men today still listen to God's warning. God has given us many warnings in his word. We want to be wise men. They still seek him. And they still listen to God's warning. Amen. They knew the importance of listening to God's word. When God, hey, God, we told the king we was going to come back. If we don't go back to him, we're not a men of our word. That makes us liars. God said, don't go back to the king. Go home another way. And they knew, amen, the importance of listening to God's word. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5 says this, a wise man will hear and will increase his learning. A wise man is going to hear and increase his learning. Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man, and he's going to become wiser. Amen. Give instruction to a wise man. He's going to become wiser. God's warning is still out today. What's God's warning today? God has given us warnings. The wise men listened to the warnings that God gave them. God warned us of a wrath that is coming. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 9. Amen. This was John the Baptist, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come. God's warning is there's a wrath coming. You need to flee from it. We need to heed to it. Amen. God's warning is out today. Amen. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You're not condemned. He didn't come into this world to condemn this world. Amen. And another warning that God has out for us today is procrastination. 2 Corinthians 2:6, now is the day of salvation. I'm going to get it right with God someday. Someday we'll never get here. Someday we'll never get here. If you have something going on in your life that you're struggling with and you know you need to make some changes, today's the day to make that change. Amen. Wise men are going to make the change today. They're not going to procrastinate anymore. And then the last thing that I have, wise men depart, when they depart from Jesus, they depart changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 12, the wise men came and worshiped Jesus and gave him gifts, and they went another way. They were changed people after they had their encounter with Jesus. You have that true encounter with Jesus, you're going to go back a different way. Amen. When you have that conversion, there's going to be a change. When a person comes face to face with Jesus, conversion happens. It was alluded to a little bit in Sunday school this morning. When Saul was on the road to Damascus, he came face to face with Jesus. There was a conversion that happened. And in your own life, I trust that you had a time of conversion when you had that day of reckoning. You came face to face with Jesus, and there was a change that happened in your life. And these men were changed. These wise men were changed. They left different than they came. After they came and worshiped the Lord and left those gifts, they went different than they came. I like that song. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Amen. There's going to be something that happens. So today we have lots of churches that are in a failure. And why are a lot of churches in failure? And that means Christian people. Because they don't get converted just by coming to an altar. People will come to an altar and think they got converted. They'll come to an altar or they'll sit in their seats and they'll repeat what we call, amen, and I don't know where they get that in the Bible, but we call it a sinner's prayer, and the preacher will say, repeat this after me, really believe it in your heart, and you'll be a Christian, and they'll go through those things, they'll say those words, almost chance that they're saying, amen, but there's no conversion that happened. Romans 12, 2 and 3. Amen. They conform to this world. They're conforming. Many people are conforming to what a church wants, but we need to be transformed. Amen. We need to be transformed. There's a conversion that happens. There will be a change in your life when you come in contact with Jesus. You see so many people today, and you haven't seen somebody in a while, and you'll see them and they'll say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm on fire for Jesus. And you look and you're thinking, wow, nothing looks different than before. You talk just the way you talked. You do everything just the way you did it before. But now you're saying that a conversion happened and there's no change? I doubt that kind of conversion. That's just up here in the head. They've been deceived into thinking, if I say certain things or do certain things, now I'm a follower of Jesus. It's much deeper than that. There's going to be a change when you come in contact with Jesus. There is going to be a transformation. Amen. And just finishing up with these three questions today. Amen. About wise men still seeking him. Are you still worshiping Christ as you should? The wise men came to worship him. Are you worshiping Jesus as you should? Is there a feeling that just comes over to you? You're just in awe when you're in the presence of Jesus. Nobody can disturb you when you're in the presence of Jesus. You're worshiping him in your acts of daily living and all the things that you do. You're bringing honor and praise to glory to God. Amen. Does Jesus have the rightful place in your life? Does Jesus have the rightful place in your life? Or are you just trying to fit Jesus into your life? It shouldn't be that way. Amen. We need to fit ourselves into what Jesus has for us and what he wants us to be. And so does Jesus have the rightful place in your life? And the last one is, do you offer him that which is worthy of a king? You give him your best time. You give him your best talents. You have all kinds of opinions, but if you were able to meet the President of the United States, the leader of any country, you would want to give them your best. If you were going to give them a ride in your vehicle, it might not be a new vehicle, but you would want it to look brand new. You would have that, I think they call it Simonized. You would have it Simonized. You would have it cleaned inside out. You would have it sparkling. You would want them to have the best experience when they were in your presence. If they were coming to your house, if your house is not is unkempt, not very clean, you would clean that place up. It would just be sparkling to you. You would offer them your best. And so are you offering Jesus, amen, that which is worthy of a king? Or is it just, well, they said I need to raise my hands. Oh, Lord, I raise my hands to you. We have our hands raised. The piano's going, the organ's going, the song leader's singing. We have our hands raised. And oh, it looks so spiritual, it looks so good, but our minds are way off on something else. We're not even thinking about Jesus. Are you offering him your best? Amen. We need to be wise men today. So wise men still seek him today. Let's stand to our feet. this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help each one of us today, O God. Lord, that we will be among the wise that still seek you, God. We pursue you, God. As a deer pants after the water brooks, God, so our soul pants after you, God. Lord, we want to be true worshipers. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth, God. Lord, that we are giving you our very best, God. Lord, this day in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we'll let our light shine, that we'll be concerned about others, God. Lord, that we'll be among the wise. Lord, we have the story in the Bible. We won't be among the foolish, God, but we're going to be the wise, God. We're looking and living and worshiping you, God, in everything that we say and do, Father, in your name, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it today. Let's